so he knows it well up here. Him and I worked together on Bulldogs for a number of years. So he's going to be our new pop star as far as what's going on. So last time we were here, there were some complaints as far as speed on Elkhorn, which we have. I don't know if any of you have seen us out here on a couple of Thursdays. Maybe it's the last couple of Thursdays, but about three Thursdays in a row for, I want to say about 3 weeks ago, we were out shooting speed out there. So we got quite a few shooters right there at the church. It's like kind of between 20th and 22nd there, where we like to hang out, and got quite a bit of speeders going through there. And there was a gal that lives right there, if you mountain, and give some water and some things around there. So, the other one was on, Rio Linda Boulevard. I think when you guys were saying that they speed through south of Elkhorn. So I've been patrolling that myself. Got a few speeders coming on the opposite direction. I think my highest was like 70. So they do come pretty fast. So we're trying to get more people out here as far as speed. I just got pulled aside yesterday by two people about stop signs. I think one was 7th and N, I think, somewhere on there. There's a 4, maybe it was 6th. People blow through the stop signs. Another one was a little bit further up, like West 2nd, and I think it was somewhere up there. But I would know it if I saw it, so it's not that I don't know where it's at. But as far as stop signs are concerned, I'm sure you guys see it up here. Everywhere in this county, there's issues with speed and stop signs. Nobody stops, everybody speeds. So we can't be every place at once. So we're trying to address those things. With our little small pop unit, Officer Takahashi just came in. He's been around here for a while. So we're trying to address those things. I know it's frustrating because right now there's only, I think, 4 of us on our pop team that has to handle all the North Sacramento area. And you don't want to hear that crap, so don't worry. You know, we're trying. We just don't have enough bodies. And the sergeant will be able to attest to that. Stolen vehicles. It's not too bad up here. It's been kind of quiet. But they do, it does seem like they like to dump them up here. So they steal them in the antelope and they dump them up here. So we are recovering stolen cars up here, Hondas, Acuras, all the good cars. I think last time they were talking about those fatal hit and runs, there was one arrest that we made about a month ago on that fatal run. So we got one of them, and I think there's two other outstanding that we're still continuing to investigate. Now, that one was solved because we had a tip. Somebody called in about the truck. So we went out and served a warrant on this guy's house over off Q Street. So that's kind of how we got this guy. So it always helps to have the tips, but sometimes it takes a while to get those. Okay. You want to say it? Come on. Sergeant Rivers, Fred Rivers.
Good evening. this is the first time I have been pop sergeant since January. Prior to that, most of you probably wouldn't have seen me because I've been a graveyard sergeant for the last 3.5 years in Sacramento, North Sacramento. Bottom line is, Officer Paul said, I was born and raised in Sacramento, and although I grew up in Carmichael area primarily, Sacramento has been my home, and so I have a very vested interest. Been on the department for 21 years, been a sergeant for the last 9, and was asked to come over to take over the POP program, which I was happy to do. I'm not going to sit here and bore you with statistics and things like that. Officer Paul already touched the line. And it's not just the Highway Patrol. I know it's the Sheriff's Department. It's everything. We're just hurting for bodies. Okay? But I'm trying to make a concerted effort to concentrate in these communities to address your concerns. Just a couple of weeks ago, Officer McDonough, who's not here tonight, and myself, we got a call of quads racing in the area up and down the bike trail. Came out here. Officer McDonough actually located them just up the street. Then they got out on the Elkhorn and decided to go wrong way at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon into oncoming traffic on Kauai. I am not going to risk my officers' safety, the safety of myself and or our department from liability for someone speeding on Kauai. Okay? That's just the reality of it. I have no problem chasing anybody from here and hell and back. But when it's an unnecessary risk, it's an unnecessary risk. Ultimately, we lose them in traffic, we're in cars, and even on a motorcycle, we wouldn't have officer qualities, one of our weather officers, getting involved in something like that unnecessarily. Bottom line is, one of the things that we need, and that's where we need the community's help, we get the phone calls. Just in the month of April alone, just in the Rio Linda area, including Alberta and some of the outlying areas here, we probably had about 40 calls of reckless driving, speeding, they're all lumped together. Of those, probably about a third we actually had an officer respond to. And with the exception of us locating the one quad, an officer and myself, most of them didn't get an immediate response. And the reason they didn't get an immediate response, and I'm only touching upon it just because it is what it is the fact that during the day, including my POP officers and myself, we probably have about 10 of us working the whole North County area. And so as a result of that, we're at calls of service. Again, I said I wasn't going to spew stats, but I'm spewing stats. North Sacramento is the busiest office in the state of California for the highway patrol. We have nearly 50,000 calls of service last year alone, just in North Sacramento. And that doesn't include self-generated activity that we have. So 50,000 calls of service spread out among 60 officers, which is all that we have in our office right now, to work patrol 7 days a week, which is 24 hours a day. So we're trying to be responsive, and with the team that I have, we're trying to get out here and concentrate and basically do some high-profile impact type of enforcement. I believe in two things. Either making people realize the mistakes that they made, or they don't realize their mistakes and they go to jail. Sometimes they realize their mistakes and they go to jail, okay? And what I mean by that is, sometimes issuing citations are not always the answer, okay? Talking to some of these individuals, especially young people, is a goal that I've always had in my 21 years I've been on this job, and trying to impart that to the officers, and I believe that they had that same attitude as well. Some people need to be issued a ticket. Some people have been issued numerous tickets and they need to go to jail. I'm not going to get into the political ramifications of different laws that have been passed and people staying in custody and not in custody. That is not my job. My job is to enforce whatever laws are on the books. And then we exercise whatever we have to do in the due diligence that we need to exercise in ensuring that that's taken care of. Stolen vehicles, they get out of jail, it's a low profile crime. Property crime, I would argue that it's not a property crime. Anybody in here been a victim of vehicle theft? I have. At least. The bottom line is, it wasn't a property crime because I was young. I couldn't afford a vehicle. I got stolen. I didn't have full insurance. Now that car is gone, it's gone. I worked auto theft undercover for 9 years. I can sympathize with anybody who's been involved in it. And I would argue it's not a property crime. It negatively impacts people's livelihoods. And more people than not that are the victims of vehicle theft are usually the family that has 5 kids, husband and wife, they both have jobs, they have one vehicle, and now that it's been stolen, now how are they going to get the kids to school, how are they going to get to work? At the end of the day, I understand that. It's not a low profile for us. But we're doing what we can. What we need when it comes to that, accidents or fatal hit and runs, is spreading the word. One, pedestrians. Doesn't affect anybody for you if you see somebody walking across the street, hey, how about using a sidewalk? You're going to use your judgment on that one, because depending on who you're talking to, you may not want to talk to them. But ultimately, just make the suggestion, hey, use the sidewalk so you don't get hit. I'm not saying it's going to help, but it might, at least with that one person. Okay? But in regards to everything else, license plates, solid vehicle descriptions, those are the types of things that help us. Okay, the fatal collision that ultimately we did make the arrest on, it was because of a tip that allowed us to be able to build that case and establish, using the Perry Mason way of thinking, you know, no probable cause to initiate and get an arrest and secure a warrant. Without that information from the public in your community, we would have never been able to make it. Okay. So it doesn't matter whether it's a homicide. Our attitude with the Highway Patrol, someone strikes someone down with a vehicle, it's no different than pulling out a gun and shooting. Okay? And you add alcohol and or drugs into the mix, I would argue that it is the same thing. So please feel free to always reach out to us if you see us in the neighborhoods. Myself, my officers, I am a field sergeant. I am not an office sergeant. Okay, I will be in the field, and I am in the field, and I believe the officers can attest to that. In addition to the POP unit, I'm also involved in our investigation. So anytime that we can be there for you, anytime that you see us, you have information that you want to provide to us, whether it's myself or the officer, please let us know. And I'll close with this. The Sheriff's Department, Twin Rivers, Parks and Rec, everyone else, we all might wear a different colored uniform, but ultimately we all have the same job to do. Okay? I don't look at the deputies any different than I look at my officers. I'm going to roll up and back up them just like I would expect them to do for us, and I'm going to do the same for my officers. We all work together. If you see something, you're aware of something, and you think, oh, the Highway Patrol's not responsible for that, no. My badge says peace officer. It doesn't say traffic officer anymore, thank God. Because as a sergeant told me a long time ago when I first came on the job, I should have been wearing a green or a blue uniform. I wasn't made for traffic. Tans were hiring. But at the end of the day, please let us know. We'll pass that information on to them as well, and vice versa. We work more effectively as a team, and that's my jarhead mentality. You work effectively as a team. I was a Marine. We have small numbers, but we didn't need a lot to kick ass. And I apologize for the language, but that's the reality of it. And we're small, but if we effectively work together, we'll do an effective job and best serve your community. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I have a question for you real quick. You said earlier that this is North Sacramento is the busiest district in California.
Yes, sir.
And you've only got 10 officers in the field at any particular day?
On average, that is correct.
What's the determining factor for your staffing levels?
Hiring.
Because you just can't hire enough cops.
There's a couple things to play into it. California Peace Officer Safety and Training, POST, as most people refer to them, they have put a cap on the amount of cadets that we put through in any given class. Our department is trying to think of other ways, and maybe a shock to some people, we're even considering doing laterals. Since 1929, the California Highway Patrol, with the exception of the state police, was the only time we've ever taken anybody in without going through our entire cabin. We are now looking at taking on laterals, which would be deputies and officers from other agencies coming over to our department and going through a modified cabin. But at the end of the day, right now, our numbers as a department per capita is the same as it was in 1971. So our personnel strength right now for the California Highway Patrol is the same as it was when I was 1 year old.
And that's for the entire department?
That's for the entire department. Wow. And part of the problem right now is how we function as a department in the movement of personnel. Is offices are filled with cadets when they are not filled with volume transfers. And that's why most cadets go to Los Angeles, Southern California, or Los Angeles, inland, San Bernardino, Ontario areas, Inland Empire, and the Bay Area. That's where the overwhelming majority of them go. Because I work down there, we all work in one of those areas. We don't want to stay there. Okay, so we leave. All right. After we have our seniority and done our first 1 year tour of duty, we put in our transfer request. Those are backfilled with cadets or new officers. The problem is there's not enough officers to fill those spots that are vacated, plus retirements, plus, unfortunately, officers that are injured, retire. Not to get into, I'm sure many of you heard about our officer that was run down on Interstate 80 about a month ago. He is recovering. We don't know long-term what it's going to be, but that is someone that we may not be able to replace. And as a result, Now we've gone from 62 uniformed officers working a beat to at least 61. And it may be not till next year before we can get a replacement for his position. So we have, right now with attrition, we are losing more people in the highway patrol to retirement and to medical retirements, okay, and the occasional administrative actions, just like all of us in any career have. People are getting fired, okay? But fortunately, those are few and far between. But at the end of the day, that is our problem. We are not putting enough people out of the academy to fill all the vacant positions that we have. And so that's why we average, not including pop, and on the weekends, you know, between graveyards and day shift and swing shift, we have about 7 officers for that area.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about funding, but it's not a matter of funding. Okay, that's what I was going to ask. It's not a funding issue.
Now about 8 years ago, it was a funding issue.
Okay. And are you funded through the state?
Okay, so... And I don't want to take the sheriff's time. Mike, until I answer these questions, if you'd like.
Okay.
I'll answer this one, that one question, though, right now. You pay your vehicle registration? You pay my salary. So if you think it's not a big deal when we pull somebody over for registration, your registration's expired. I got to put food in my kid's mouth.
Thank you.
Food members, do you guys have anything?
I'm Chris with Flintock. I'm the officer assigned to Reland High School and the elementary schools this year. And I'll probably be out there for the next few years. My goal is to watch our first grade class for 5 years. So I will be there. I got nothing else.
My name is Sergeant Brown, Park Police. As you know, we did a saturation, or may or may not know, we did a saturation detail out there just a couple nights ago. We did locate 2 motorcycles ripping up the bike trails. We ended up towing an impound in one of them, and one kid, one adult, ended up going to jail that night. So,
Tom, yes, I was the transient force patrol. As far as recent events go, we helped the old POP team and us help the safety team do a sweep for 290 registrants along the parkways. That stretched all the way from Rexford all the way up into Alberta. So we ended up arresting a few people here between El Paso Road and Alberta. 4 people. So up from underneath the Alberta Bridge, 28th Street in Alberta, arrested a couple people out of there.
Two-night registration
is a sexual offender registration that for those of you. So basically we're checking for compliance, but we scooped up a lot of people, partners of opportunity, so to speak, who are out there doing things you should be doing or who had warrants. And had over 50 arrests through all of that. That's on the entire parkway, but just out here we had 3 or 4 arrests in total vehicle. And also been dealing with a few of the chronic offenders right here in town, taking a couple to jail lately, writing citations. It's kind of business as usual down here. Yes, ma'am.
Are you talking about the Dry Creek Parkway or the American River Parkway or both?
Both.
Okay, so, you know, our interest is in the Dry Creek Parkway, so, and that's where we find...
It was primarily the River Parkway is where most of that was, but we made Officer Fiddler and I came out to make sure that we checked a few people out this way as well.
Because I do a... Friends of Dry Creek Parkway, we do a cleanup once a month, and we never fail to find 5 or 6 cans.
Oh yeah, there are. The Sacramento County Park Rangers have primary responsibility for enforcing the cleaning those. Yeah, and they are very busy doing it, and we've been helping them out there on Alberta Road at 28th. behind you, the Cherry Island, there's a car over there, and yeah, the Northbrook Park. It's kind of hard to stay on top of it, but you know, we're working with them and coordinating cleanups with them, and as well as our project, and try to manage it a little bit. Is there another question? Yes, sir.
I know there's a lot of illegal dumping going on. I have passed Scott just past 20th Street toward the dead end right there.
Mm-hmm.
The people use that as a dumping ground. Mm-hmm. There's a couple horse ranches over there where people board horses. That most really be getting out of control lately. Mm-hmm. I use that route to go home to my house, but it's kind of a shortcut.
Sacramento 311, it's really the way to a fork when you see that. And also, if you shoot an email to our North Pop email, if you have information on suspects, that kind of thing, they have done successful investigations on, they work with code enforcement and have had some successful investigations on the chronic. It's usually the commercial people who go up there and dump stuff.
Yeah.
On a regular basis, and we can get good cases on
them. We actually caught one out near the airport who's doing commercial grade dumping. I'm Ron, I'm your community prosecutor, if you don't remember. And we're prosecuting him currently, and we've had some success with remote cameras, and the sheriff does have access to set those up. So if you shoot an email to Pop, we can look into putting a camera out there and see if we can find out who's doing it.
We became aware of it in control services, and we have an off-duty position that works in the Antelope area, and they've been helping us out by trying to frequent that area because it's becoming more and more regular. So thanks to Supervisor McGlashan, we have a position, an off-duty officer that works the parks up in the Antelope area, and he sneaks down every once in a while into that area to try to help us out, keep eyes on that because of the calls for service. So he's kind of like our eyes and ears. So if you see him around and you have some info about somebody that's dumping, give it to him, and then he'll give it to us, and then we'll take action on that for you.
Thank you. Are there cameras on the parkway?
Excuse me?
Are there cameras?
Not that I'm aware of.
These are mobile cameras that have been used for the illegal dumping.
It's probably a tool that can be utilized if we have a compelling enough issue going on that where we would need it. But as far as I know, there's no cameras on a regular basis. Well, it's something that one of those out of the box thinking ideas where probably be a good idea on the parkway, you know.
Well, like
it's always a money thing, really.
The pastor at our church just a couple weeks ago had a UTV stolen, and it was found on the parkway behind the ranch house. We got it back, and it got stolen again the next week.
One of the things we try to, emphasize is, don't let yourself be a victim. Harden up your properties, lock stuff up. The days of leaving the keys in your car in the driveway are way behind us.
This last time, they literally dragged it out of the...
And it has to be locked up behind the locked door and gate. Otherwise, if they can see it, they won't take it. You know? I had my car stolen. It started on the same... I had my car stolen, and, you know...
They broke the padlock on the gated fence. They drug it out because it was already ruined when they dropped it into the ditch, I mean into the creek. So it was sitting there waiting for the insurance adjuster. And you can see the drag marks. They dragged it out and they busted it out. He said, if they want it, you know they're going to get it. But.
So for camps, do you have, if you spot a camp somewhere, please let us know through the North TED email. If you leave your phone number on there, we'll get back in touch with you as soon as we go out and check it out. We'll give you a call back, you know, while we're on the site probably, if not soon afterwards. Or if we have questions trying to find it or about, you know, that kind of thing, you know, we can get back to you. So if you use the email, please include the phone number. That's all I have for now.
Supervisor McClatchy.
Well, my meeting starts when your meeting ends.
Okay.
So,
I didn't know if she wanted, then she asked, I didn't know if it was you wanted to say something to address them or not, so I apologize. Do you guys have any new concerns?
Yes. The apartment is next door to the cow.
Okay.
Oh.
Drugs. I had a call me for about an hour and a half, and every student came up with dread about all going on there. And she said there's a lot of death that they go across the street and rip off the 7-Eleven and climb over the fences over there. And she said that since, I guess, an agency has the apartments now.
My partner and I made an effort to make sure that we're out there and be more present as cop officers in the Rio Linda area. So we'll try to make sure that we're more in the hot spot.
If
so
you go there, the lady's name is Gina Hall.
Okay.
And we spent almost 6 hours in Rio Linda today stopping cars and people on bikes and suspicious people. So we were out and about, and we were right at that gas station at the Rio Linda Market.
Yes, ma'am.
It's Straw Road. All those yards that they cleaned out there, they're moving back into. And at 900 Straw Road, they've got the plastic on the fence, and there's a bunch of people living in there in trailers and motorhomes that are no longer functional. They're in there. And 6715 West 6th Street, Evans Towing, he's got a bunch of people living in motorhomes back there also.
Okay.
But we have another problem, and I don't know, we're having trouble finding out who will handle it. It's 124 West Elkhorn, and there are mentally impaired women living there. It's a single family home. There's 16 women living in there with one bathroom. We've been told that they're in detached bedrooms and trailers. And we called Adult Protective Services when I called 311 for code enforcement. They said that wasn't code enforcement's area. But these women are supposedly cooking for themselves. It's, I guess, not registered as a rooming house or something. But some of these women should not be around. So they're mentally impaired. So we're really worried about their safety.
What was that address?
124 West Elkhorn.
We'll take care of that.
Somebody else have a question?
I'd like to say something real quick. My name is Mark Tills, and I bought Tummy's right over here. I graduated from Rio Linda in 87. I was a paramedic guy for like 10 years. Now I'm the sergeant of the Department of Corrections on the yard. And I've been on a prison yard for 10 years, and there's a huge connection to the white gangs and Rio Linda in the prison yards, if you don't know that. And I already got tagged behind Tummy's Born Slave. I don't know if you've seen that one yet. But, you know, I'm going to have a big presence in that area as far as I have the homeless staying there. I have issues. And I just, you know, want to welcome you guys to come into Tummy's. You know, definitely co-law enforcement. And just want to say that I know that, you know, I lived in Rockland for the last 15 years, and the police presence was huge. And you hear the big crimes went down in Rockland. The gun vault just got broken into. A bunch of guns being stolen. And I know you guys are doing the best job. My Lexus was stolen my first week back in Rio Linda. You guys found it 4 hours off of, yeah, there's that street where the Tower Mart is. Lilac. There's the guys in there stealing. We know if you don't. So anybody, I just wanted to announce myself as a new owner, and that I do karate with all the gang guys in my prison. And Rio Linda, I was really shocked when I went in there and realized I knew so many people who are connected to this town. And if you think, you know, the speeders and the stop signers and all that are big, it's all connected higher up, and it goes all the way to the northern, southerns, the whites. The whole gangs are connected to this town. They're known in the Penn system. Rio Linda, as a little town, is known with even the AD. The high members of the AD know this town. So it doesn't start with those little things, but believe me, it connects up to the gangs in the prison.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're preaching to the choir.
I feel a lot safer now.
All right, well, I also want to let you guys know that we'll be available offline outside if you guys have any other questions. I have one more question, then we'll turn it on.
One of the things that has been active on our local Facebook page is we have a lot of bicycle riders. Mm-hmm. And if this community bought a bait bike, would the police, the sheriff, be able to use it in our community? if we bought and donated a base light to the sheriff's department? How would that work?
That's something that I'll have to talk to my supervisor about, and I'll have to talk to their supervisor about.
Okay.
Definitely send us an email regarding that, and we will definitely take it up and speak with our supervisor.
Okay, because we would really like to see some of the bike thieves out here caught. I mean, it isn't just the four-wheelers and the...
We've got programs like that before, so...
I know. We see them everywhere except here.
Come to speak with me after the meeting, and I'll tell you about some of the stuff we got going on.
Okay.
Just to wrap it up, I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of new programs that we have at the district attorney's office. My boss, Avery Schubert, is going to talk about some of the changes in the law that have really kind of hampered law enforcement's efforts to prosecute these kind of petty crimes. But we've created a new system that's up and running. It's a new program called the Chronic Nuisance Offender Program. And we work really closely with the POP guys and the transient enforcement detail. Because what we found is that these really small numbers of criminals commit petty crimes repetitively, and that really it's so small, it seems trivial by itself, but when you do it every day and law enforcement is out there for hours writing reports, these guys just, it's a revolving door. So we're trying to figure a way to keep them in custody so that to prevent that revolving door. We've had some success with it. We're getting good stay-away orders. Tom, I think you can speak to that. We've worked closely on several guys already, and it's worked. Another program is the Serial Inebriate Program, which is the Chronic Drunk Guy. Now, by itself, a lot of times law enforcement will just pass by and say, what's the point? We take him down, he's out within a few hours. Well, this is a program to get them off the street for a period of time. So we're hoping that that has some good success, and thank you.
Thank you. Like I said, we'll be available outside for you guys if you have any other questions offline. For the summer, we do take a break for the July, so we'll see you guys in September.
Yeah,
thank you.
We didn't spend that money. We didn't take that time. We are happy with him, and later this year he's going to be out to speak to you. Each of us, each of the county supervisors receives a certain funds from time to spend on projects in our district. And I've made a point of saving mine up over several years to be able to do some projects in the district that actually have some kind of impact. I mean, we've done smaller things too, like Reed's baskets every Christmas, but I wanted to do something while I'm still in office that would have an impact on Rio Linda. So if you recall, the right about the end of last year, we adopted the special planning area for Rio Linda, and it has a streetscape master plan now adopted for the community. So I looked to that to find a project that I could fund, and so we have initiated a project to put new decorative street lights in downtown Rio Linda.
I did.
To do that. It's a $300,000 project. We're going to do as many lights as we can do for that money. We ran it by the Chamber of Commerce, the Park Board, and the Visions Task Force. And so we are on schedule to have these installed no later than mid-November so that we can do a ceremonial lighting by the end of the year. So
That's breakable glass or unbreakable glass?
I don't know the details. But the county will be the one to maintain them, so that's where we're going with this particular design. You can also find it in Freedom Park Drive off of Bott Avenue in North Highlands, and it's an efficient and yet decorative streetlight. And I have with me, I'm not going to try and show it, but if you're interested, we'll have in the back of the room that shows the diagram of where they will be going in. One other thing I wanted to mention before we had a community cleanup a week ago Saturday. We had staff out from county, primarily code enforcement, but also from some other county departments, and then volunteers from the community, and several dumpsters that were their use was donated by Atlas Disposal for people to come and bring items that and be able to dispose of them for free, not have to take them to the landfill or anything else. And that included e-waste as well as just general refuse or big bulky items too. So I don't have a report on how many dumpsters we filled up, but that was another. So it was not intended to be go out and find people who are keeping junk on their property. It was to be a service to actually help people who have rubbish on their property or junk and didn't know how to get rid of it to be a service to them. So I want to leave plenty of time for our speaker, but I'll answer if you have any questions for me. This is the time to ask them. Yes, Chuck.
So several years ago, I was in Reading, and they had up there a dumpster permanently stationed.
Mm-hmm.
That was a free in the area where you could just come and dump and fill it up. And the idea was these people with a mattress or with this here piece, rather than leaving it alongside the road, they were saving money by having them just put it in the dumpster free.
But did you know you even have a better service than that here now? Because with your county, as part of your county garbage service,
mm-hmm.
you can call and make an appointment a couple of times a year and have them come out whenever you need to, I mean up to two times a year, and pick up items right from your in front of your house mm-hmm. or business.
Well, house
because business is separate.
We still have a lot of people just dumping stuff.
I know. I don't know why, but that's why we had the cleanup and we came out again. And people can also make an appointment to have bulky items picked up as well.
Roberta, I just want to say thank you for your donation to fund the new Welcome to Real Linda sign with the Lions Club.
Awesome.
We really appreciate that as a community. It's been gone for too long. We're glad to have it back. Thank you.
I'm happy we can do that. That's why we have those neighborhood funds. And I spread them around equally. I've been saving them up to use in Real Linda this year.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
So, any other questions? Then, we are very pleased to have with us tonight our, I can't exactly call her new anymore, but new to coming and speaking in Rio Linda, District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert. She's a career prosecutor with over 25 years of law enforcement experience, and prior to being elected the District Attorney, her focus in the DA's office was using DNA evidence to convict killers and other criminals. And she was elected as the district attorney in actually June of 2014 and was sworn in January 2015. And so it's my great pleasure to turn the floor over to Anne Marie.
You here in your community that are really, the officer said, the laws that have kind of come into play in the last few years. So a little bit about myself. I grew up in Sacramento. I grew up down in the Arden area. I come from a big family. I have six brothers and sisters. Went to local schools, went away to college, thought I'd never come back to Sacramento. I ended up realizing that Sacramento was a pretty cool town. I came back in the mid-90s. So when Roberta mentioned that before I got elected, one thing I would say about me as a person, I'd like to believe I ran for DA for the right reasons. I've never done anything else in my life, my professional life, other than be a DA. I love what I do. I would show up tomorrow if I won the lottery on the way home tonight because I feel very passionate about the work we do. It's just a pretty good gig. And so before I got elected, I spent the majority of my career prosecuting violent crime. Okay, so in about the mid-90s, fortunate that I got involved in forensic DNA and learning what it meant. How does DNA help solve cases? And so in 2002, we started the cold case homicide unit here in Sacramento. Lots of cases that came out of that unit that were solved that had never been solved. And one case I remember in particular, for those of you from this area, anybody remembers Herman Hobbs? That name, Herman Hobbs, was unfortunately a serial killer that grew up in this area. Okay, killed a bunch of women. He's now in prison. And we ultimately identified him. There was a case, one of the very first cases that we solved. We went around all the police departments, police agencies, and said, hey, you got a list of unsolved murders. Which ones would you want? And one of the very first cases was a young lady by the name of Penny Parker. And she was a newspaper carrier back in 1975. She was 15. And she went out one night, she was walking on the levee road, and she went out to collect her newspaper money, and she had a bicycle with her, and she ultimately was never seen again. And about 4 days later, it was a huge case, big media attention, her body was found out in the, what do they call it, what's the park area out here that's still an undeveloped park? By the railroad tracks.
The tracks.
Yeah, so some horseback riders passing by there, they found a bicycle. Ultimately, the guy that found her, it just happened to find her, but ultimately the guy that found her was always a suspect back in the 70s. His name was Donald Jennings. I think his name was Jennings. And it was kind of weird how we found her body. She was 15. She was ultimately found out she was sexually assaulted and strangled to death. Her staff was actually stabbed. And so back in 2002, we went back to that case. Remember, we didn't have DNA in the 70s. Did some DNA testing, figured out there was evidence left from the bad guy. The guy had since moved to, I think, Arkansas. And so we had a DNA profile of the killer, but he lived in Arkansas. So we kind of got creative on the case. If you ever want to follow this case, it's a pretty interesting case. It's on Forensic Files. It's our cold case. It's been replayed a number of times. But got a little creative and realized that he had an ex-wife. The suspect had an ex-wife and had a daughter. And so we got the DNA from the ex-wife and the daughter, and we were able to figure out was the killer the father of the daughter, if that makes sense. So we kind of like a reverse paternity. And that's what ended up happening. We solved the case because of that. And then when the law enforcement, the sheriff's department, or the police department, went back to arrest him, he killed himself. So it was actually quite sad in a way because the family never got to see the guy the rest of the time. But it was pretty good. I mean, that's one of the things that I love about the job is just being able to bring answers. I don't say closure, but answers for families when we talk about these types of cases. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. What do I think are some of the big issues that we face in the community? And then I'll take some questions from you if you have them. The sheriff, the CHP officer, he rightfully said, I'm not going to make any political statements. I enforce the law. Okay? That's absolutely true. As a DA of Sacramento County, we enforce the laws, whether we like it or not.